This book of Daniel. We have almost done. We have almost finished. We are in chapter 9. Chapter 10, no story there. Nothing much there. We have already touched chapter 10. We have already touched chapter 11. So the only relevant chapter now after chapter 9 will be chapter 12. Somebody said, his wife was asking him, come, this Daniel, where pastor they talk all this time? What thing they talk about self? Go back and get the tape and sit down when there's no distraction and listen to them. Part 1, part 2, part 1 is chapter 1, part 2 is chapter 2, like that. And it will surprise you that the book of Daniel is a message that we should know. It has something to do with us. Amen. And then, everything that pertains to salvation, I have told you it has been encoded such that even the knowledge of who Christ is in Luke chapter 10 is even encoded of who he is, who Christ really is. They just saw somebody, a virgin gave birth, the man is just going about doing miracle, and then confusion galore. Amen. And Luke chapter 10 and in verse 22, he said, no man knows the Father except the Son. Amen. And no man knows who the Son is except the Father. And he to whom the Father will reveal. Unless the Father reveal who Jesus is, you will never know who the Son is. Unless the Son tell you who his Father is, you will never know it. And so there's a confusion about the Godhead. Three persons in one God. And he deliberately left that because he encoded it. And concerning what happened in the Garden of Eden, how man degenerated into what we are today, the source, the foundation of it, he encoded it again in the book of Genesis and said, don't eat this tree. Eat only this one. The day you eat. And people are wondering, eat. Which one be eat again? He encoded it. And how the whole matter will end, the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, he again encoded it. Until today, religious people are still confused about it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have come to revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the reason. Hallelujah. And therefore, this Bible, you don't read it like a novel, like a newspaper. It is first and foremost a love letter. And when a husband writes a letter to the wife, if you are not the wife of that man, there are certain words he will use in that letter that only the wife will understand. Only the wife will understand. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And Daniel said, concerning all this revelation, he said, only the wise shall understand. Praise the Lord. And so, he said, Timothy, study and show thyself approved, not unto man. I've been emphasizing this because enter message believers will be listening to me and they expect me to continue with the same parrot type of a sermon. Just repeat what somebody else said, repeat what somebody else, repeat what somebody else said. Because we have respect for certain people. And they build a very serious platform where they can establish their own way of understanding the scripture when first and foremost they look at the ministry of William Branham as the finality of anything you want to know when it comes to salvation. No, and I say no, and I repeat no, you get it wrong. Place the ministry of William Branham where you are supposed to place it. When you catch it, God will then begin to move you forward. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, it is wrong as they read Revelation 10:7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished. The Bible didn't say mysteries. The Bible said mystery. One mystery. And if you use it as mysteries, and then you should not bring forth any further light, any further revelation. Hallelujah. And people don't understand that God buries his workmen, but his work continues. And if you notice that the book of Acts is the only book that does not have an amen in finality. It leaves it open because the Holy Ghost will continue to act in other ways. Praise the Lord. I am saying this so that when you are studying the Bible, study with an open spirit. Don't just go and repeat what Pastor Moses is saying. Pastor Moses may say it at this point, and then God can cause you to go deeper. Hallelujah. I am not seeking to be known as an authority. I am only sharing the light as he has caused me to see. And I will share it to the level he has caused me to see. And you can even go deeper. It depends on how much time you have to study. It depends on the condition of your heart, and it depends on the purpose of God in your life. If God is giving me a worldwide ministry, then there will also be a certain level of dealing he will be dealing with me, so that I will not mislead the people. If it is God that has called me, then he will guide me. If it is devil that has called me, he will also guide me to be taking people further and further and further away from the Bible. Every minister God calls takes the people deeper and deeper to the things of God. Everyone brings us closer and closer to the understanding of the Bible. Every one of us God has called. And everyone Satan has called takes the people further and further and further and further away from the Bible. For that is the ministry. Praise the Lord. And you will never see any of these carnal motivational speakers that have transformed themselves to angels of light touch the book of Daniel or go to the book of Revelation. They dare not, because if they attempt, they know their folly will be made manifest. That is when they will know they know nothing. The privilege we have is that the great encoder has decoded for us. Oh, let's clap our hands for this God. There's a reason why I'm emphasizing this. In the course of my study of this book of Daniel, I have come across things that gave further light to what we have known before. And today, in the book of chapter 9, where we are going to study, I also saw three things that we'll be emphasizing. I said three things that give further light to what we have always known before. Now, give this picture proper, but we'll look at it, steadily. So let's read the book of Daniel, chapter 9. I want your attention. The book of Daniel, and I'm going to read for emphasis, chapter number 9. Amen. Be very reverent, because the rapture will come by instruction. Do you understand? The rapture is not just going to just come and then you are lying down. And then you see yourself in the air. There will be instruction that will be given. That will get you ready to move anytime. That will position you to where you should be. So you need to hear the word in this late hour. Daniel chapter 9 verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, some call that word Chaldeans, depending whether you are pronouncing it British or America or Igbo. All of us get our accents. In the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by what? By what? Books, take note of that. The number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. I repeat verse 2 again. In the first year of his reign, the first year of the reign of Darius, and that year happened to be B.C. 538. That date is important to take note of. That is the first year of the reign of Darius, King Darius. And is one of the rulers of the Medo-Persian Empire. That is the second empire. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So, what was the prophecy of Jeremiah? This prophecy is the prophecy that sent them to captivity, that began with Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And that king of Babylon began the times of the Gentiles, the times that man will rule this earth. And that began the period of Joel's army in Joel chapter 2 and verse 25-26, where he said, I will restore all that the locust, the cancamum, the caterpillar, and what? The palmer worm have eaten. He said, my great army. There are four insects there. Caterpillar, locust, palmer worm, and what? Cankerworm. They are nothing but those four empires that rule the earth. And they are the ones that kept dealing with the children of Israel. The Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. My great army, he, God, raised them up and gave them over to deal with Israel for disobeying their God. And that prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 25. Can we open it? Amen. From verse 1. The word that's Jeremiah 25 from verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th day of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, this is the 320th year, the word of the Lord had come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened. And the Lord had sent you unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, everyone, from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no harm. Yet you have not hearkened unto me, said the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own heart. Therefore thus said the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, said the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon, my servant. That's why he called them my great army that I sent among you. I will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of might and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the milestone and the light of the candle. Verse 11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And this nation shall serve the king of Babylon. How many years? 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, said the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolation. And shortly after, hallelujah, this prophecy came to pass. Amen. And it was fulfilled in B.C. 606. And take note, Jeremiah the prophet prophesied what will happen. And there are other scriptures here and here. One of the reasons why they had specific number 70 years captivity was given to them, 70 years, was because there was a law they were also breaking. They degenerated to that level where they got so disobedient to the law of the Sabbath of the land, they refused to keep it because they are given another ordinance, another law, that 6 years you can till the ground, the farming, and the seventh year, don't go to farm, leave the ground to recover. And even the law, he said, if you say, what shall we eat the next year, since there will be no planting, he said, in the sixth year he will give you abundant. You will have so much that even the next year you don't farm, you will have enough to eat. But they got so disobedient, like it is still happening up till now, just simple obedience for your own prosperity, you will not keep it. And they kept doing that until 70 Sabbaths. 70 Sabbaths passed. You know, sometimes I look at the scripture. Jesus Christ, Peter asked him, how many times can one be offended before I can forgive? What was the answer of Jesus Christ? He said, until 70. He said what? 70 times 7. I believe it's also a principle of God. So we can understand now why it was 70. The Bible says, for each year that you refuse to observe the Sabbath for the land, each one will be 1 year captivity. 70 Sabbaths equals to 70 lashes. 70 years. And you know, in every generation, in every move of God, as God is moving, there will always be, it doesn't matter, teachers. Jeremiah gave the revelation, thus said the Lord. If you read up to verse chapter 28, amen. Let's go there. Jeremiah chapter 28. Amen. 26, 27, Jeremiah was repeating it. He sent messages. See, it is God punishing you. Subject yourselves to the king. Oh, subject yourself. You will remain like this. So, amen. But see, chapter 28. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, and that's the last king that reigned before Nebuchadnezzar came and cleared the land. In the fourth year, and in the fifth one, that Hananiah, another prophet, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest, and of all the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. When Jeremiah said, you will be yoked, heavy yoke for 70 years, a prophet came up again with another prophecy, contrary to the message of their day, contrary to the star messenger's message, contrary to thus said the Lord, vindicated and confirmed word from his servant. Within 2 full years. And when such prophets are prophesying, they prophesy by shaking. Hallelujah. Okay. This Ananias, is it not the same one too that slapped Micaiah? It is Zedekiah, the son of Chenana. Thank you. Amen. He too came to prophesy contrary. They are always there. That spirit is always moving where the true spirit of God is moving. This one now is Ananias. Verse 3. Within 2 full years, verse 3, will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. Prophet Jeremiah said 70 years. Prophet Ananias said 2 years. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Joachim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, said the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Well, note something in verse 5. A true prophet does not fight anybody. When you are sure of your source of inspiration. Verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Ananias, in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. Because who was there for 70 years? If your own God tell you, say 2 years, it's better. We are not looking for vainglory. I spoke like this. Why are you speaking contrary? There are ministers today that will fight because you say something different from what they say. If it is to make things easier, who won't become slave for 70 years? He said, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessel of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Then he added, nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thy ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of all prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him. No argument. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck. He even went further. Hey, prophetic action was going on. Jeremiah prophesied with a yoke upon his neck. Holy, this is how we shall be yoked for 70 years. And Ananias spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Ananias went and collected the yoke. Thus said the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. He didn't fight. You collected the yoke I brought for prophetic action. You broke it. Thank God. May it be so. A true prophet of God is known for humility. Amen. Amen. I have told you this several times in this church. Anybody that gives you instruction, listen very well. Thus said the Lord. And you refuse to carry it out. And the person vexed. That person is not speaking from the Lord. And if you are speaking from the Lord, then you are having a Boko Haram spirit on you. Because you want to help God to fulfill what he said, Abi. God cannot fight for himself. You are fighting for him. A true prophet will tell you, this is thus said the Lord. If you come with another thus said the Lord, he said, I have told you what I heard. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma. And go your way. But if you see that prophet getting angry because you did not carry out the instruction, watch that person. I have been long with gifted people in this church, and I can advise any minister that is hearing me now. Before you will say somebody is a prophet or a prophetess, don't judge the person by the way the message is given. Don't judge the person by, look, don't come and give me instruction. This is the one divert me. It is the pay me. How people who don't know God will come and say, thus said the Lord. No fear of God. If you know God, fear will catch you. It will be heavy in your mouth to say, God to say, because there is a repercussion. When you lie against God, you lie in the name of the Lord. That is what it says. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's a commandment. This is one of the things we do with the name of the Lord. And in this church, give the people full here. I have never known you to have ever given me a prophecy that came to pass. Then you are coming to pay me, Pastor, the Lord said you should do 3-night vigil with salt and pepper. And the person is quick to tell you, anytime God show me something like that, it will come to pass. So, and they want to enforce it. And that person will call you again the next day. I hope you have started. Before me, Moses Alu, will take your prophecy, I will confirm that you are a prophet. And don't tell me your testimony of your former church. Here is church. Gafili, Gadoki. Prophesy. Make I see. Gifted people come out. They are the first people that run out. Pastor, the Lord said we should run around the church 7 times. So that what will happen? The Lord wants to restore the glory of this church. Amen. I will confirm, and God will honor my faith. Anybody that comes to me sounding like a prophet, when they see, they hear, You are hearing me now. I am not talking before. I they look you to confirm. And when I confirm, I will properly place you. Whether you are true or false, I will place you. Praise the Lord. And Ananias came and then prophesied. Jeremiah said, go ahead. And you know, it's in Israel. If Jeremiah no use this one, they go kill him. You give 70 years. This one give 2 years. Who will go follow? So it's in his own interest that he take off. They go. Which verse am I? And verse 12. After Jeremiah went his way in verse 11, then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet. After that, Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Ananiah, another prophecy, saying, thus said the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent thee, but thou makest these people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus said the Lord, behold, I will cast you, Hananiah, from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Therefore, the 70 years stand. And the next chapter 29, Jeremiah began to write letters to his people wherever they are. Okay, it's confirmed now. Stay there. Be obedient to the kings that will be holding you. Build houses for yourselves. Relax there very well. Marry there. Establish yourself, because you are not going back soon. Amen. Church, listen. Why it's necessary to consider what we are looking at? The estate that man has been reduced to today is a type of the captivity that Satan has kept us, kept man generally in captivity, because of the disobedience of man from the Garden of Eden. But church, God allowed it and allowed it for a purpose. And it's not going to be forever. It began somewhere, and it is an agenda that we end somewhere. William Branham put it this way. Christ is coming soon. Christ is coming soon. William Branham said, yes, because the day, the time, and the hour, no one knows. He said, this is how you should live your life. He said, plan your life as if it's coming another 100 years' time. He said, but live your life as if it's coming the next moment. That is a general way of putting it, to keep us on our toes. But the important thing there is that this whole captivity of man by Satan will end one day. The whole creature groaneth earnestly, hallelujah, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And that manifestation period is the age of regeneration, the millennium, the 1,000 years reign. It's a period that is coming to end the captivity. And this divine agenda, hallelujah, God has already written the scripts. And we here, man generally, We are only the actors playing out the script. Playing every part. And every one of us, the actors, who are in various forms, each time you are playing your own, you will think that you are the last. It will end with me. Just play your own. And when you finish playing, and God is not obligated to explain anything further. At the juncture of time, he knows what to move. When it is time to go to another plot, another scene in the script that he has written, he knows who to use. And anybody God is using is his servant, including the dumb ass of Balaam. Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant. Pharaoh was God's servant. Judas was God's servant. Anybody God uses, the servants of God, hallelujah, in a house, in a great house, Apostle Paul say there are different vessels. Some unto honor, some unto dishonor, but they are all in the same house. And they are all to play a role. And they were brought there by the owner of the house. And that house is this great script that is playing now. You have to understand it. Don't just read the Bible. And read the Bible, and read the Bible, and read the Bible. And then you are full of story. Hey, this story, this one happened. Joseph, he did it like this. Samson, he did it like this. Ahab, he did it like this. And this one, Zechariah, did it like this. And Nebuchadnezzar did it like this. Pharaoh did it like this. And you know nothing to relate it to a general agenda that folds up to the rounding up of the program of total redemption of man and even this earth. When you change your mindset, Bible study becomes sweet. Because as you are reading, the picture is coming clearer and clearer and clearer. And this knowledge cannot be got in a school of theology. This knowledge comes by the revelation of God. Hallelujah. Before I start to study the Bible, I always offer a prayer. Lord, grant me understanding. If there is anything for me to learn here, show me. Then I begin to study. If you don't do like that, the book will only become a novel to you. You know, this Bible, you can do so many things with it. It's a spiritual book. There are some of us that God talks to us. You know yourselves, through scriptures. He will just take a particular verse, a statement he made somewhere, and expect you to apply it to yourself. And it will work. Praise God. There is a prophet. Let me just say, there's a man of God. I went to visit him years ago. I think the first year this church started. And then I visited Micaiah. I was just branching. I had known the family. And then to greet him, he was like a PA to the Jew. That is the man. When I say, let me greet your Geo now, it was not a service day. It was, but I think maybe he was seeing people. And then he told me that I have to fill formal and then I'll pay 15 naira at that time. I'm sure by now, with recession now, the thing for don't reach 5,000. You know. As he said, the man go deal with Amo if you don't see that 15 naira. I said, fill this form, take it to him that I want to see him. When I entered my own turn, he looked at, and so he said, you have not paid 15 naira. I told him, I said, 15 naira for what? He looked at me. I said, yes, your PA told me that I should pay because his eye turned red. And I told him, I said, I couldn't see why I should pay money to see a fellow servant of God. I am a pastor. Why should I pay money to see you? Is that what you do here? You charge people. He just stopped me. Say, okay, I understand. You're a man of God. No, man of God, you don't have to pay. Anyway, why I remember it is, this was what he did. So God wants to talk to you. He do like this, he give me Bible. I should open the Bible. Maybe you have seen it before. Anywhere your finger reach. He said, I should put the Bible on my head and open any page, and hold it and bring it down. Then open it. And wherever your finger touch is your prophecy. You have never seen such people. Some people do it. Do you know what? God will honor such things. Depending on who is coming. I know you are anxious to know which way was my own. I marked it. I took it very seriously. It was Isaiah 59. Let me show you what the Lord, what happened that day. Isaiah 59, and this was where my finger went. Verse 21. As I enter, he said, when I did it, verse 2, he said, as for me, this is my covenant with them, said the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, said the Lord, from henceforth and forever. So you see, and I believe it, and I told him I am also a man of God, and the way I put my finger is concerning my ministry. Is the word not in my mouth? Am I not speaking God's word now? But what I'm trying to let you know is, you know, this Bible, you can use it in any way you like, but don't confuse it from what these grammarians in this church use. There is the primary interpretation and there is a secondary interpretation. Don't just pick a scripture like we pick, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Then you pick it and say, it is written, my God shall supply all my needs. Oh, to start with, if you look at it very well again, it did not say needs. He said need. No S there. And secondly, the word starts with but. That means something was spoken before that statement was made. Praise the Lord. So when you are studying the Bible, be sure to properly apply it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, properly understanding the word of truth. And so here they are. Establish yourself, stay there. That was the letter he wrote to them. But a time came when Daniel began to study again, as we saw that Daniel understood by books. If he said he understood by books, is it book or books? What did he say? Listen, I'm taking this teaching and I'm just taking my time and stressing certain things to help you also know how to study the Bible. Because we just gloss over some things because of what people say. Did he study by book or books? If he studied by books, it means he studied more than the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is only one book. So which other book did he study? And why did he? What was it that prompted him to begin to seek the face of the Lord? Why did he go studying again? Amen. First and foremost, Jeremiah had given the prophecy of 70 years. So the first thing he will do, is, when did that prophecy fulfill the beginning? And he looked, the books include history. The books include the book of the prophets that relate to their captivity. It has to relate to their captivity. So one of the book will be the history book as recorded when Nebuchadnezzar came and scattered that city to fulfill that prophecy, and it was in BC 606, according to one of the books, the history book. And by the time that he was studying, he found that that year was BC 538. From BC 606 to BC 538, they had already spent 68 years. So it's remaining 2 years. Praise the Lord. And by the time he was looking at this 2 years, he saw another prophecy that was being quickened to him. And that is the prophecy of King Cyrus. There's a prophecy concerning King Cyrus. Let's look at it in Isaiah 44. Let me read it from verse 24. Thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirming the word of his servant, and performing the counsel of his messengers, that said to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. That said to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. Verse 28. That said of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. And as at the time this prophecy was given, Cyrus was not even born yet. According to history. And now, while in that captivity, at the period that he was studying this, Cyrus had become a king. If a man that Bible prophesied years before he was born, that he is the one that will be used to build back the temple, to build back Jerusalem that Nebuchadnezzar went and destroyed. A prophecy was given, his name was mentioned. Right before their days there, Daniel saw that a king by that name was now on the throne. That simply means our redemption is nearer. Then he calculated again and saw that 68 years had been spent. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9 now.